and happiness. And that is, you have to go out and be happy. It's not going to happen on your own. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 a.m. and time for Back of the Book. Did I say 99.5 FM? WBAI. Back of the Book. Where is it? Oh. It's on this one. Ah, sorry. Looked in the wrong place. At the wrong time. Okay, at Back of the Book, please. Da, 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 da.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's the final 5 o'clock in the morning of 2022, and you're listening to All. Will 2023 be the end of the pandemic years? Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program. You can find out a little bit more about what we're talking about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can go up there, and when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. And at the top of that, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 119th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't talk about them on the program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story in all of intergalactic civilization for this past week is, we are holding at the huge number of 120 followers on Twitter. Yeah, Twitter is acting strangely now. Things are disappearing that I'd seen earlier. Sometimes things that I see are out of order. And I'm certainly getting a lot of contact from Twitter owner Leon Scum. He's just constantly sending things out that I guess he insists we must all see, because I see it and I don't follow Leon Scum. So there you go. I don't know what's going on with it. Maybe it's like the final throes of it or something. Who knows what's going on with Twitter these days? This guy who has no idea what he's doing owns it. And he's like a lot of rich people who own things and screw them up. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, January 11th, 2023 at 7 p.m. It'll be on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The WBAI local station board elections for officers are over. Ah, you were waiting for that news. D.D. Halleck was re-elected chair. Michael D.D. White was re-elected vice chair. And as I said last week, Kay Williams was elected secretary, and I was re-elected treasurer at the December 14th meeting without opposition. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 660,072,705 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,689,101. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 100,738,182, and the death toll in America reached 1,092,622. So, 2,489 people have died of COVID-19 in America in the last week, which is a couple of hundred deaths lower than the previous weekly toll. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. I bet that 2,489 people didn't die this past week from colds. There could be another surge after the new year starts. Also, the so-called People's Republic of China has relented to the huge public demonstrations they've had from people who were reacting against the usual, heavy-handed, inhumane way that the Chinese Communist Party had been keeping people bottled up as a precaution against the pandemic, and maybe a few other things. Now, they're throwing off precautions altogether. No moderate steps there, apparently. It's either total oppression or do as you will and we won't care from that particular government. How this will affect the country with the largest population in the world isn't known. But it will be seen, unless they crack down on reporting about it all. And what this might mean for the rest of the world is another thing that we have to be concerned about. Could be a lot of potential for more variants coming out of that. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And this was all mostly preventable. And as you're listening to this broadcast, it is December 31st, 2022, early in the morning. And these are the last hours of 2022. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And if you're going to go out to Times Square, you're going to get rained on a little bit, but not as much as they were predicting. And so we want to wish all of you a Merry New Year and be careful out there. Besides, you know, maybe wearing a mask. You could also, you know, be careful. Don't get too loaded with whatever you're doing. Just get loaded enough. But have a good time seeing out the old year and watching the new year envelop us in whatever horror lies ahead. And we'll be hoping that everything works out, though, and gee whiz, we should be back next week, we hope, and we'll all go through this together, I guess. No telling what's happening these days anymore, but Merry New Year. Well, we're finally gonna really get done with the black hole stuff here, and I think some of you are probably cheering. I don't know. We haven't gotten a lot of feedback on this. People saying, oh, yeah, I like to hear that. So it kind of tells me maybe this is not, you know, I know it's wacky. It's very wacky stuff because it's on the bleeding edge of astrophysics at this point in time. And maybe not everybody likes this, but who knows? We're going to finish it up this time. So we talked before about this thing called Hawking radiation and black holes. Black hole is, of course, the super-duper dense thing that happens. Usually a star explodes, or sometimes two neutron stars merge. You get a whole lot of mass. It squeezes down to, theoretically, a point, a geometric point. Maybe it actually is a point. Maybe it's something that's very small, smaller than a proton, which is pretty damn small. Who knows? They haven't worked out, really, if there's any wiggle room in there. But a point is the theory. And so you have this black hole that has many times, usually some number of times at least, the mass of the sun squeezed down into this teeny weeny space, or no space at all. Or it may be billions upon billions of times the mass of the sun squeezed into that same teeny weeny space, in which case those black holes usually lie at the center of galaxies and the whole galaxy rotates around it. We recently had a photograph, basically, of the black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which is the galaxy we're all living in at the moment. We may move to another one, you know, next week. Who knows? Strange things happen. And when you read these articles about the latest stuff about black holes, strange things do seem to happen. And so you have the black hole. It's very dense. And we talked about something called Hawking radiation, which relates to the vacuum energy. In the nothingness that's around us, and right now, of course, you're surrounded by air, but there is, the air has to fit into something, and it fits into the vacuum. But there's a vacuum all around us. We just mostly fill it in. In the vacuum, if you go out into outer space, deep, deep into intergalactic space, where there's hardly anything around, you will have a vacuum, and that vacuum will have a surprising amount of energy in it. In fact, the calculation is that there is enough energy in, if you had a 1 pint jar and you were able to get all of the matter out of it so that there was no matter in it and there was no like light shining through it to put energy in it, and it was a perfect vacuum in there, in that 1 pint jar, you would have enough energy in that vacuum to vaporize the Pacific Ocean. That's quite a bit of energy. And so the vacuum is loaded with energy. In fact, it's so loaded with energy that it produces particles spontaneously. This is because of the energy matter equivalent from Einstein, E equals mc squared. A whole lot of energy can come out of matter. That's how you get like an atomic bomb or a hydrogen bomb, or the fusion reaction they did a week or so ago. And the opposite is also true, however. If you have a whole lot of energy, that energy can just spontaneously, suddenly convert to matter if it's squeezed together enough. And in the vacuum, it is squeezed together enough because it's so highly energetic. And when that happens, what you get are pair of particles, not a single particle, but a pair of particles. Frequently, it's like a positron and an electron. And you know what an electron is? It carries negative charge, and you're using it right now. And a positron is antimatter, and that is basically exactly the same as an electron, same mass and everything else, except that it has a positive charge. And so all of a sudden, an electron and a positive positron come into existence. And what usually happens is they come into existence right next to each other. So they have a great attraction for each other, and they reunite suddenly, and they turn from matter back into energy. And this is not a rare interaction. In fact, this interaction is going on all around you right now. It's going on inside you right now. It's going on inside the atoms that you're made of right now, and the atoms in the air. And it's happening even inside, like, protons and neutrons in those atoms. Yeah, it's a very detailed small thing. So this happens. It's going on all over the damn place. And when you have a black hole, of course, you have that thing called the event horizon. The event horizon is that thing which is, it's not really a thing. It's something we recognize. It's the place where light cannot escape from the black hole. Anything that goes into the event horizon is heading into the black hole, and in general, we figure it ain't getting back out again. The event horizon also has these spontaneous bits of matter showing up, and that happens right at the very edge of, well, happens everywhere, but when it happens at the very edge of the event horizon, you can have one of the, we'll just say that they're electron and positron pairs. They can be other things too, but this makes it simpler. The electron and positron pairs come into existence right at the event horizon. And even though they're extremely close together, they might straddle the event horizon, in which case one of them is inside the event horizon and is brought in. The other one tends to move away. And so all of a sudden, you have this thing of where some of the energy in the vacuum has been turned to matter, and it's been split up in this interesting way. What happens then is it's called Hawking radiation. And Stephen Hawking, who was the very famous astrophysicist who was in a wheelchair and had all these grand ideas, he said, hey, in this manner, a black hole will, over time, evaporate. And the smaller a black hole is, the faster it will evaporate. We won't get into why, and we talked a little bit about the area of something counting more than its volume last time. Not getting into that again. Okay. So, now you figure you have a black hole and you've got this event horizon. The event horizon is miles and miles across. And it's not the most gigantic thing in the universe, but it's miles and miles across, and, you know, tens of miles across, which means it's got a pretty nice surface area on that event horizon. It's figured generally the event horizon is going to be spherical. There's debate about if the black hole is spinning. Is the event horizon a bit oblate? Is it flattened a little bit or not? Yeah, you know, that's something else for another time, maybe, but probably not. In any event, so you have all this space that is around the event horizon, and all along there, you've got these interactions happening. So you've actually got quite a bit of energy that is being turned into mass, and some of that mass is going into the black hole, and some of it is going out. The way this is looked at by the physicists is, this represents a loss of energy, vacuum energy, inside the black hole, because a chunk of matter has gone out, and that really counts against the black hole. It's you know, one of the things I have a question about regarding all of this stuff that they get into in these articles, and we're talking about a pair of articles mostly from the September 2022 Scientific American here. And One of my questions is there some ledger book someplace that keeps track of the information that has to be reassembled? And my beef here is these scientists are using all of this stuff about black holes to say that information is indestructible. I kind of disagree with that, but they're saying this, and they're really very serious. That's what these articles basically come down on. And so what happens is these scientists, by the way, give an analogy in here about book burning. And no, not a political matter, but they say if you take a book and, you know, it's got all sorts of stuff written in it and you burn the book, the information that was in the book, like the written letters and all of that information is contained in both the ashes, which you can't read from, and also the energy that comes out of it, quote, at least in principle, unquote. And I think they're giving themselves an out there. And so you might say, well, okay, the black hole loses that energy and it goes out and whatever information might be in that is in the black hole and you never get it out. But there is a thing called quantum entanglement. And anytime you get into the world of the quantum, it gets wacky. And quantum entanglement means these two particles, in this case our electron and our positron, they're connected to each other in a certain quantum way. And so they say because of that, the information is still there and it can be recovered, and it is recovered. And I think that's wacky, too wacky. And so what they're saying is that these things that happen that are supposedly storing energy in the black hole that you can get back out again, and when stuff comes out of the black hole, it will be exactly the same, which doesn't make a lot of sense. If you take a book and you throw it into the black hole, does that mean at some point it's going to come out? No, that doesn't mean that. It means that that information that was in the book is going to come out in the form of the radiation that comes out of the black hole eventually. This is kind of what they're saying, folks, and I don't buy it. Anyway, part of what they say is the entanglement is not causative. It does not, it's not caused by one thing or another. Entanglement involves the two particles. Let's say you're not dealing with a black hole. You just have the two particles, and bang, you get them to go away from each other. And this actually can be done with other kinds of radiation and particles. And you get them to bang, go away from each other, and they move away from each other at the speed of light. And when you measure one, it has one value. And when you measure the other, it has the other value, the opposite value. And they say, how could this be? And there are actually a few different ways, but what they're saying is, it's not that measuring one. And by the way, with the quantum, the idea of the quantum is neither one of them has anything and both of them have everything. So that they only have a value, a definite value, once they're measured, once one of them is measured. And then you measure the other one and gee whiz, it has the opposite value. And so what that gets into is, people were in a big quandary about this because they tested it and it's real. It happens. And I said, how can this be? Could this be transmitting the information faster than the speed of light to the other particle? And no, that would kind of violate a whole lot of basic stuff. And so the scientists look at this, and what they're focusing on now is that the entanglement isn't causative. It doesn't cause them to go like that. It's that there is a higher degree of correlation between the particles. And that sounds strange, but basically what it means is that there are many different ways for the particles to travel, many different paths for them to travel on. And in terms of the quantum, they travel on all of them at once, which, you know, okay, how about that? And because of that, that relates to the high degree of correlation, and that's how you get the opposite charge or whatever property you're looking at in the other one. I don't know if I said that right, but I'm trying to communicate. I don't know. Now, these scientists are really pushing this because they have a belief. Now, I have my belief that I think information is destroyable. You can wipe it from the universe. They have that opposite view, and they are really holding to it. In some cases, I really question if it's like almost a religious belief on their part. I don't know, but this seems to be, to me, what some of this is about. And so they say, there's a quote from the article, quote, "The laws of quantum mechanics stipulate that information cannot be obliterated," unquote. And see, this is like they're really hanging on to that. And I understand it relates to other things, but maybe they're hanging on a little bit too much, I think. Now, it's not just the black hole itself and stuff. Part of what they're saying with their new theories is that their idea of how the vacuum energy relates to what's in the black hole and all of that, that's actually a quantum treatment of the black hole space-time. Like, space-time, they claim, would not exist if the information were losable, destroyable. And so, okay, that would be very interesting. What would happen if space-time ceased to exist? Well, we wouldn't know anything about it because we'd be in the middle of it getting blown away. So what they think is happening is this, that the particle that gets captured by the black hole gets, you know, sent deep into the black hole, and the black hole itself is, again, either a point source or something that is even smaller than a subatomic particle and has all of this mass in it. And if it goes in there, and when it gets in there, they say there is basically something like what they refer to as an island. Now, it's not an island like a tropical island or Coney Island or some island like that. It's something that's a bit, you could call it different. The stuff gets on the very inside. And what they now are saying is that it's so intense that it forms a wormhole. Now, I remember some years ago when somebody was claiming to have proven that wormholes could not exist. In fact, I think Hawking himself, either he won a bet or lost a bet on black hole wormholes. And, you know, so I thought that they had gotten rid of the idea of a wormhole from a black hole. But now they're reviving it so that they can save their theory that that information is indestructible. And I don't know, I take a hairy eyeball at that idea. And anyway, so they say the black hole forms a wormhole to another black hole. And by doing that, the island, as they call it, this part of the interior of the black hole, kind of exports that island to the other black hole through the wormhole, they say, and this saves everything. And I'm saying, I think there are a couple of questions on this. So there's this temporary bridge of a wormhole that joins the two black holes. The large amount of entanglement, because, again, you would have these particles that are in there, but they're still entangled with particles that are outside the black hole. The idea is that all of that entanglement between the Hawking radiation and the black hole interior amplifies the likelihood of this wormhole forming. And, let me note that the article I'm discussing right here is by, okay, there are two of them. And this one is by Ahmed Al-Meheri. He's a theoretical physicist at NYU in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates. And he studies the connection between quantum information and quantum gravity. Quantum gravity is something that nobody has a handle on yet. So, yeah, some interesting stuff going on right there, I guess. In any event, we have this idea that now we have this bridge formed by the enormous quantum connection between the inside of this black hole and the outside, and we have this area, special area inside the black hole that they refer to as an island. And then this stuff forms a bridge. The large, quantum entanglement increases the likelihood that you're going to get this bridge, which will form a wormhole. And then he writes, quote, "The relevant physical effect of these temporary wormholes is to swap out the interiors among the different black holes. This happens literally. What was in one black hole gets shoved into one of the other copies far away, and it assumes a new space-time interior from a different black hole. The swapped region of the black hole interior is called the island, and it encompasses almost the entire interior up to the event horizon." So, the issue here is you've got stuff on the inside of the black hole that is relating to the stuff on the outside, and they continue, "The swapping is exactly what the doctor ordered." Yeah, for their theories. And it continues, quote, "Focusing on one of the black holes and its Hawking radiation, swapping out the island takes with it all the partner particles that are entangled with the outgoing Hawking radiation. And hence, technically, there is no entanglement between the black hole and its radiation." And they say the new formula of how this works curiously treats the island as if it were outside and a part of the exterior Hawking radiation. That the exterior Hawking radiation would be the particle that never gets sucked into the black hole. Therefore, the entanglement between the island and the exterior should not be counted toward the entropy. And the entropy is, entropy is something that's very hard to discuss. We'll just say it relates to the randomness of what's going on here. And randomness, of course, relates to the particles there. Most of the time, particles just go right back, and it's very mundane, and it doesn't get into this very esoteric idea of entanglement on two sides of an event horizon. Basically, they are saying that there are subtle yet dramatic effects from fluctuating wormholes, and they change everything. And they're saying, therefore, this means that because the stuff is exported into another black hole, that this means the information is not destroyed, and information therefore cannot be destroyed. They're saying that the entanglement was a problem, and that by doing this stuff, the black hole dumps the entanglement, and therefore the information is preserved. And I just don't buy it. I don't see this. Now, if you want to get into individual teeny-weeny particles the size of an electron, by the way, an electron may not have an actual size, but something like that, all right, fine, go ahead. But if you were to drop the Encyclopedia Britannica into a black hole, you're never going to be able to expect to get the Encyclopedia Britannica spit back out from the black hole. It's not going to happen. And that is the information. So I think what we have here is people getting very hot and bothered and using the word information in a way that I think, well, I'm sure that they have ways of expressing this that will blow me away. But I think they're putting too fine a point on some of this stuff. I think really information is destroyable. And maybe they're positing some stuff that is so science fiction-y and so emphasis on the fiction-y that I think they need to go do more work on this. This just doesn't fly to me because, geez, the entire past would come back to us or something? I don't know. It's a very strange thing. Also, do that. How do you run time backwards? So the reality is, I think, that information is destroyed, whether it's falling into a black hole or whether it's you burn it and scrunch up the ashes and, you know, the smoke goes away and the light and heat that comes out of it radiates out into all over the place. I think information just is fragile. Merry New Year! Merry New Year!
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Ah, it's so merry that we need you to help us out. Yes, we're pitching. Oh, what a sneaky way to do it. We're pitching once again, folks. We're saying, please, please help us out. Please get up, go to your phone. 1-212-209-2950. Here comes the pitching train. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, and that means that what we do is we rely on you, the listeners, to keep us going. Everything in the world takes money, and that's just the way it goes. We can't get away from it. We have to pay bills. We have to pay rent. We have to pay rent on the studios, and we have to pay rent on the tower. It's called a tower. What it is, well, it's part of it is a tower, is at 4 Times Square, we have WBAI's transmitter, and we also use the tower, the antenna that's at 4 Times Square, and I won't get into multiplexing, but that's what happens. And we use that, and so they charge us. They charge us rather a bit of money. It lumps out between the rent itself and the utilities to something on the order of more than $17,000 a month. That's a lot of money. And so we have to pay that. Otherwise, if we don't pay it, you know, they just throw a switch and we're off the air. I mean, it's that simple. They have control of the electricity in the transmitter room. They say, okay, flip. No more electricity goes to the transmitter, and we're not on the air anymore. So we got to pay them. We could also end up getting evicted by the landlord at 388 Atlantic Avenue if we keep not paying our rent. We're a bit behind these days. So some of what's happening here is the general manager has declared December the month of pitching for the Tower Fund. We're pitching especially to make it so that we can pay the rent at 4 Times Square. One of the issues is we're really close to the point of where they might throw that switch. We're in arrears. We get in arrears so much. We are notoriously bad for paying our bills at BAI. And so we owe you. We'll pay you back. You know, it's like Wimpy. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And they give us the hamburger, and we got to pay him because, oh, Jesus Christ, it's Tuesday. So 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call, and that's a call center. When you get them, you say, hey, I want to make a donation to the Tower Fund in the name of Back of the Book. Please make sure they get down that you want to, you know, do this in the name of Back of the Book, because this makes sure that we get credit for it. Why is it important that we get credit for it? Well, management also gets the ratings, the Nielsen ratings. The Nielsen ratings, management has told us, show that we have zero listeners. We know you're out there. Some of you write to us. So we know some of you are out there. We have more than zero. We don't know if we have a hell of a lot more than zero, but we have more than zero.
We have at least 19 listeners.
And so we are having to try and show management that we have enough listeners, also that we have listeners who care enough to send in donations. And this is very important because, again, we can go off the air, maybe permanently, if we can't pay especially the tower bill. And again, this is the Tower Fund pitch we're doing. 1-212-209-2950. And basically, you're showing your appreciation for what gets done on this radio program. And, you know, we just spent a whole bunch of time here talking about some very weird stuff. And the quantum and how it relates to black holes. And ultimately, this idea that some people have that information is indestructible. And my personal grating at that particular idea. So we got all these things clashing. But we bring up all sorts of things. And how many places discuss quantum entanglement and remind people that reactions happening inside the atoms of your body, where these particles snap into being and then annihilate themselves and turn back into energy. And this is going on throughout your insides, your outsides, everywhere, all around us. And it's called, it's part of the, what's called the quantum foam, which makes measuring very tiny things pretty difficult. In fact, kind of impossible with any, you know, with true precision. You can never say this is exactly 1 inch long. Well, some people do say, oh, that's only 1 inch long, pal. But getting away from my kind of low life considerations, we... God, my mind is in that same old gutter, isn't it?
Happy New Year, folks!
Anyway, you can't measure stuff all that precisely because everything is whipping around. And that's something you don't hear anyplace else. And so we bring you these science things. We got some other science stuff we want to talk about. We're not doing some political stuff here tonight because we got a pitch, but that's the way that goes. By the way, this is the final Tower Fund pitch for us. The Tower Fund pitch is only supposed to go through December, and that's about to end. So this will be the final Tower Fund pitch, and we got to get some folks to help us out and call 1-212-209-2950. And another thing you're doing when you call that number and donate is you're letting management know that the overnight radio programs do have listeners. And I keep saying this, but it's a real true threat to these overnights. The 6 to midnight to 6 a.m. shows called the overnights, they don't have a whole ton of listeners. Of course not. A lot of people are sleeping. And so various people have suggested the station could make a lot more money by not having those shows on, but renting out the radio station's air between midnight and 6 a.m., 7 days a week. And we could charge quite a pile of money for that, and that would probably allow us to fairly easily pay the tower bill. And so this is something that's been seriously proposed by some people at various times, and if we can't raise money on these overnight programs, we're going to end up very vulnerable to that kind of thinking. And there are people who simply do not value the strange mix that happens overnight. And they like the prime time and drive time radio programs, and that's all they care about. This stuff of people who stay up late at night, they don't care about us. We got to defend ourselves. If you're listening to this program live, you stay up late at night. Some of you, I suppose, get up early in the morning. I don't understand that idea of getting up, you know, early on a Saturday morning, but there you go. I think a lot of people stay up late. 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from some folks. We need to hear from you. And by the way, if you donate, would you please write to me? I am rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. That's my email address. Let me know you donated. You don't have to say how much. You may say how much, but you don't have to. And it would let us know that, hey, somebody went in and did that. And in fact, we're looking at something regarding that right now, but I won't get into that. And basically that will help us to say to management, hey, look, we are raising stuff, or we're raising money and we have listeners. And, you know, we kind of help to represent the overnights throughout 7 days a week. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call if you want to help. If you want to help keep back of the book on WBAI and help keep WBAI on the air, please, right now, get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, hey, I want to make a donation to the Tower Fund in the name of Back of the Book. And that would really be a good thing, because it will tell management that we have listeners. And we've had some folks, pledge and send in some dough. George and Bonnie from Northport, Michael from Valhalla, Dorothy from Little Neck, and Tony from, Tony? Oh, God, I lost where Tony is from. My brain doesn't work well anymore. Well, see, I told you information was not indestructible. Certainly not in my brain, you know. It is not indestructible in my brain, because I lose information in my brain all the time, and I can't remember where Tony was from. But anyway, Tony. So, they've all contributed in the past number of months here. Please join them. Join them and say, yes, I want to help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI and help keep WBAI on the air. And the way you can do that is to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to contribute to the WBAI Tower Fund in the name of Back of the Book. And then you tell them how much you want to contribute. By the way, if you contribute $25 or more, you become a member of WBAI. And next year, we are going to have elections, I'm told, and you'll be able to vote on those elections. And they're very important, these elections. They determine whether we have a preponderance of sane people on the local station boards and at the national board, or whether the crazy people take over. You don't want the crazy people to take over. They make big problems. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number we need you to call up right now. Oh, please, I wish people would call us at that number here, because, you know, we can't tell that you're calling right now. This is a pre-recorded program. We have to do it this way these days. Maybe at some point in 2023, we'll be going back to doing live programming again. I don't know if I could do live programming again. I don't know. I have gotten so used to, when I screw up, being able to say, oh, wait a second, and go back and edit it? I don't know. We might have some problems with me sitting there saying, oh, wait, I didn't say that right. Let me say it again. Oops, I can't do that. I'm live. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out. But maybe we can do live again sometime this year. But we got to be on the air to do that. If we're taken off the air because they say, look, nobody's listening to Back of the Book. We're going to put on, like, more music or something. You know, which could happen. Geez, then we won't be here at all. Or BAI might not be here at all. If Four Times Square says, look, you're really into us for months and months of tower rent, and we've cut you a lot of slack, and we're not doing it anymore, so we're throwing the switch, and we'll put you back on again when you pay all the money that's in arrears. And one of the things I've heard that they really want us to do is get a letter of credit, have all the money deposited already for a year at a time, and then they'll decrement that account and take the rent out that way. That way they get their rent instantly and on time, and this is what they would like. Well, you know, we can't pay the thing monthly. How the hell are we going to get a year's worth together? I don't see that happening, and that could be a problem if they do flip the switch. They're going to say, you got to pay it all up front so we don't do this again. I don't know how it would happen. And the rest of Pacifica isn't in great shape. They've been helping us for years, but I don't think they could come up with a year's worth of tower rent for us. 1-212-209-2950. You can help us out. You can keep us on the air. You can make sure that the people at Four Times Square do not flip the switch on WBAI. 1-212-209-2950. Please, please call us at that number now and let management know that there are listeners for this radio program. And really, you'll also be telling us we have listeners for this radio program. Please, 1-212-209-2950. That's where we need you to call right now. And if you do that and you want us to thank you, we will thank you for that. And right now, we'll thank you for listening to that. And that has been it for Back of the Book for this week. And for this year, yes, 2022 is over for Back of the Book. We hope we're back here next week. Coming up next is
Ecologic.
They're going to talk about all sorts of environmental stuff, so stay tuned for that. It's a new year coming up. We're not going out tonight. If you are, be careful. We're hoping we'll be back next week. Until then, enjoy yourself. Don't get hurt. And above all, remember what that Watching Information Get Destroyed Permanently Dormouse said.
Winding your way down a Baker Street, lighting your head and
Can't find that on the radio.
Well, tune in to WBAI and you certainly will get an earful.
You'll turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund@wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are, we hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.
Dictionary.com yesterday, I don't know if you heard this, they unveiled their word of the year. They do this every year, and the word of the year for 2022 is... Oh, whoa.
Shortcuts.
Do me a favor. Try to be optimistic.
Thank you for taking the job on such short notice.
I am ready. You are getting a new and improved me. Since I've been working with Barry, I am experiencing a calm like never before. Never. I'm less reactive to situations. I'm more accepting of people's shortcomings. I was a little uncertain about coming back to work, but it's like Barry says, you put peace out in the world, you get peace back.
Tune in for a shortcut, 11 p.m. New Year's Eve, right here on WBAI FM.
Yesterday I was having dinner with Charles Manson. And in the middle of dinner, he turned to me and said, is it hot in here or am I crazy?
Hello, WBAI listeners and supporters. If you appreciate interacting with members of the WBAI local station board, then tune in Tuesday, January 3rd from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the next report from the WBAI local station board. This month, you'll hear from various members of the board. And as usual, they'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and they'll ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI. So don't let this opportunity pass you by. Be sure to tune in. Again, that's Tuesday, January 3rd, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the next report from the WBAI local station board. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
Extinction Diaries. While the world is caught up with the COVID-19 virus and decompresses from a contentious U.S. election, things in the Arctic have taken an alarming turn for the worse. A record-breaking ice melt led to a refreeze later than ever before, and worse still, the refreeze is failing to solidify on the Siberian side. Most alarming is that no one seems to be talking about it. So let's start. For decades, the science community has warned us that a runaway melt could be triggered if humans do not stop generating greenhouse gases that are heating Earth up. The data each year showed we were failing and should have triggered a global survival response, for the human race is in the balance. We have to face that. It's way past time we all engage. From each of our dinner tables to the very peak of our national infrastructure, economic, manufacturing, transportation, all aspects of human civilization must be quickly transformed to support our survival and not our extinction. To survive, we must save the polar bear's home. If we save the